What do you guys love about your mom?
That she tickles us.
Everything.
That she is smart and kind. That she is nice and loving.
That she's nice.
That she's so nice.
She helps me with stuff in school like homework.
I love that she is the best mom I have ever had.
What is your favorite thing to do with mom?
Play with her.
Snuggle with her.
Play with her.
My favorite thing to do with my mom is play games.
Watch Little House on the Prairie.
Sit outside with her and have a bike ride.
Yeah, whatever she said.
Watch 5-minute crafts videos.
Go to Cedar Point. I mean, honestly, I could say that about anyone, but Cedar Point.
What has mom taught you about Jesus?
That he died on the cross. Jesus
loves me.
Jesus loves me no matter what.
What has mom taught you about Jesus?
Respect.
Honesty.
That he's the greatest person that ever lived on earth.
What is something that mom always says to you?
I love you. I love you too.
She loves me.
She loves you?
Yeah.
What else? Anything?
Clean your rooms.
Don't let bad feelings get into your heart. It's time to come in.
Clean up the shoes or put them on the mat correctly.
Don't turn out like your father.
How does your mom make you laugh?
She tickles us.
She makes funny faces.
When she tickles me.
Tickles you.
When she tells jokes.
Tells jokes.
How does your mom make you laugh?
With politics. When she says she forgets her jacket at home.
She always comes up with these weird jokes and then she just does this weird face at me when I least expect it.
What makes mom happy?
When we say I love you.
When we make stuff for her.
Tickling.
What makes my mom happy is spending time in the pool.
What makes mom happy?
Us.
Two little girls.
Two
good little girls.
When I clean my room.
You clean your room?
Good ones, not bad. Make sure that kids.
When I tell her I love her.
What makes mom happy?
Seeing food. And after eating food.
What is your mom really good at?
Cartwheels.
Making us laugh.
My mom is really good at painting.
Cooking. Not cooking, but gardening.
Taking care of us.
She's really good at taking care of us and making good dinners and good special treats like today.
What is your mom really, really, really good at?
Sewing things that I can't sew myself, which is everything.
She's really good at getting carry out.
If you could give mom anything in the world, what would it be?
A great big hug. A great big hug.
If I could give my mom anything in the world, I would give her tacos because she loves tacos.
A mansion with two movie theaters.
Two movie theaters.
A luxury vacation.
What was that?
A luxury vacation.
A luxury vacation. Those are nice gifts.
Two movie theaters? Because what if somebody else wanted to watch a movie? One of them personal for mom, and the other one for
one for the adults and one for the kids? Yeah. I gotcha.
Sure.
If you could give your mom anything in the world, what would it be?
Look, a unicorn. That's magical.
I'd give her a bunch of homemade cards that I made myself.
If you could give your mom anything in the world, what would it be?
A microwave hot dog.
Is there anything else you want to say about your mom?
That she's the best mom a kid could ask for.
Yes. How about together say, I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mommy.
Ready? One, two, three.
I love you, Mom.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our worship service this Sunday, May 10th. It is Mother's Day, and so happy Mother's Day, moms. We pray that you are honored and encouraged, and as part of our service, not just this video that we just had, but we're going to be encouraging you, moms. But certainly, we're here to worship, not moms, but Jesus, and so we do pray that Jesus is going to meet you where you are. This is Trinity Utica in Michigan. I am Pastor Justin Krupski, one of the pastors here. Pastor Chris Troxel is going to be doing the liturgy for us. He's our Christian growth pastor. And then actually Pastor Louis Steer and Pastor Chad Wright are going to be joining me for our message today on this Mother's Day, but also as we continued our anchored sermon series, as we're actually going to be talking about what is called the Office of the Keys. And so we're really excited about that. A couple of things that I wanted to share with you before we begin worship today is first, this Friday, May 15th, our Family Life Ministry has put together a Family Life Live event. Family Life Live event this Friday night at 7 o'clock. It's going to be an online seminar, a parenting seminar. And so I don't know if you have kids, how old your kids are, but we have some parents from the community around us that are really good speakers, but more than that, they're Christian parents, a mom and a dad who have been through a lot. It's a blended family. Michael and Gina Spain, they're actually part of our 9:45 worship service last week. Many of you know their story, right? Both of their spouses have died from cancer, and one of their sons at this time is battling brain cancer. So they've been through a lot of changes. They have five children together, blended family, and their children are all out of high school now. And I think that they have some wisdom for us as parents, specifically to give us some pieces of wisdom of how to parent through change, through trials, which certainly we are all in right now. And so I'm really excited. This Friday night, Family Life Live is going to present. You're going to be able to link it through our website. We'll make sure you get the word and you can share that link. But 7 o'clock, I'll be hosting it along with them. And so if you know parents that would be blessed by this great parenting seminar we're going to put on, that's this Friday. Also want to let you know, social ministry continues to thrive here at Trinity. All of our ministries have made a pivot: school, family, youth, children's, worship, right? We're all pivoting in all of our areas of ministry. But social ministry has continued to provide food, right? Thousands of meals distributing to their partners in Wayne County and Macomb County. But also here at Trinity, we've actually just passed 1,100 meals being served. Carry out Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. And so thank God for that ministry team and for the opportunity to share Christ's story of love through food. And certainly we're praying with all those individuals too. I also want to let you know this, pastoral care ministry. We've actually had over 1,000 phone calls now. 1,000 phone calls. And yes, we always make phone calls, but not to this magnitude certainly. But over the last 7 weeks, we've been able to pray with over 1,000 people over the phone. And we are here for you. I want to let you know that. And so if you need some encouragement, let us know. We'll call you. We will pray with you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. Also want to let you know this, as part of our worship time, you can actually fill out a communication card. There's a link right now that you can click on through Church Online. But you can just communicate with us. Let us know what your prayer requests are. Let us know that you worshiped with us. We're so happy that you're with us. And so with all of that said, I want to welcome you to our 8 o'clock liturgical hymn-based worship service. We are so excited that you're here with us. May God bless our worship time this morning as we begin worship.
Good morning. My name is Pastor Chris Troxel. It's great to be with you this morning. Today, we're celebrating some special people in our lives. And so today's Mother's Day. And you may have a good relationship with mothers. You may have a mom that's here on this earth. You may have a mom that's with Jesus. You may be a mom. Maybe you are a mom. Or maybe you wish you were a mom. And so today is a little bit of a struggle for you, or your relationship with your mom's not great right now. Whoever you are, whatever your relationship with motherhood, God has a word for you today. So let's turn our hearts and our minds toward that word that he has, and embrace the things that God, that we're celebrating today, embrace the things about God that we struggle with today, and we do this all together, as Jesus calls us together. God's love is made known to us through the lives and actions of people around us. In the beginning, God spoke, and new life came forth. God opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. And God revealed his plan for us through the life of his Son, Jesus. God lifts us up on eagle's wings and allows us to soar. Through their examples of faith, work, and love. So we turn our hearts and our minds toward God as we sing praise to him for what he's given us in moms and other relationships in our lives, and the joy that is set before us in knowing him and following him in this world. We lift up our hearts and our minds as we sing the words of Love Divine, A Love Excelling. Let's sing. Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and your steadfast love, in your steadfast love, in your steadfast love, in your steadfast love, in your steadfast love. In your steadfast love, God looks at you and he remembers his steadfast love. He says, I will remember my covenant, which is between you and every living creature. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Thus says the Lord. In his steadfast love, he forgives all your sins. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed his transgressions from us. Your sins are forgiven. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And together we pray the prayer of the day. Join your voice with mine and others worshiping together in this moment. Blessed Lord, you sent forth your Son as love to come down from heaven to die for our sins and to bestow upon us a new and everlasting life. Give us such love so that we may believe and live faithfully in Christ, sharing this great news of our abiding love with all we meet. Amen. Now I invite you to open up a Bible if you have one with you, or you can open one up on your app if you're able to, and go to Proverbs chapter 31. That's our Old Testament reading for us today. Proverbs chapter 31. That's a passage at the very end of Proverbs, all about what a godly woman looks like, how she behaves, what she does. And sometimes words in this can be condemning for some women to hear. But this is also is what God's Spirit is refining moms who have the Spirit within Him, what He's refining them to do, who He's refining them to be. So if you hear a word that seems to condemn you today, take heart. Because Christ died for our shortcomings to set us free from them. And so we can live a new and different life. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the word of the Lord. Now for our New Testament reading, our epistle reading, we go to a letter written by Paul to believers at a place called Colossa. And he writes to them about how to live as people who follow Jesus. And so this word again is for men, women, children, people of all places and situations in life. Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the word of the Lord. And we turn now to our gospel reading. And if you are so bold, I do invite you to stand to honor the words of Jesus. And they come to us today from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I did not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one who was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave all his debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." He refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have also had mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of our Lord. When we heard the words of Jesus, let's lift our hearts in response to all of God's word that inspires us and challenges us to follow him. We sing the words and the tune of Beautiful Savior. Let's sing.
Of laundry.
Arms up!
I'm sorry for not giving you one moment of silence.
I'm sorry for everything.
I'm sorry, Mom, for all those times that I came home late.
Sorry for always fighting with my brother.
For treating you like an ATM machine.
For breaking your heart over and over by thinking I knew better.
Parenting is the hardest thing I've ever done,
but I've learned how to do it from you.
Thank you for teaching me.
that giving of myself is the strongest way to live.
That allowing my kids to fail will teach them the greatest lesson.
Thank you.
For teaching me that I can go one more day.
That parenting is the greatest honor in the world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we do have a beautiful Savior. His name is Jesus. And yesterday is Mother's Day. And so I believe that is a fitting video for where we are going to go, that ability to say we're sorry, and not just to our moms, but certainly to God and certainly to everybody in our lives. And so we are in Anchored Part 4, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have a hope as an anchor for our soul that makes us firm and secure, and that hope is Jesus. We've been looking at the six chief parts. What are those? Are actually in our catechism. Huge teachings of our faith, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and now today the office of the keys. The main thing is the main thing, because the main thing is the main thing. The office of the keys, and certainly the church holds that, but the church is the people of God, those who get to proclaim the forgiveness, the main thing, to the world on this Mother's Day. We want to do something exciting as we continue this sermon series and unpack the office of the keys. I wanted to invite two other pastors here at Trinity to join me in this message time, and that is Pastor Chad, our Christian care pastor, our counseling pastor, and also Pastor Lou, our human needs pastor, our social ministry pastor, and see what we can share together. And so certainly may the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to God. He is our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's get into this message. Let's invite Pastor Lou and Pastor Chad into this conversation. So here we are with Pastor Chad, who's actually in Nebraska right now, Zooming with us, with his wife and kids, and they're going to be actually coming to Michigan here pretty soon. Pastor Chad is our pastor of Christian care and counseling. If you don't know anything about Pastor Chad, just think about Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda, and he's the mastermind, and he's a great counselor. God has gifted him. Pastor Lou is here with us, too. He is the champion of social ministry here, and he definitely is a workhorse. Definitely gets to be the hands and feet on the front lines with our social ministry, and we are so blessed to have Pastor Lou and Pastor Chad with us today. Pastor Chris, unfortunately, gave plasma on Monday, and so he was kind of out of it for a little bit, and so we were unable to get him into the message with us today. But we are super excited. As I mentioned, we are in the fourth week of an anchored sermon series, and we're talking about the office of the keys, the forgiveness of sins within Mother's Day. So 4 points as we get into this that I want to make sure that we cover. We'll see what we cover. You never know what us pastors are going to do, because we're going to start preaching. And so we're going to try our best to give each other a couple minutes. But the 4 points I want to make sure that we cover, one is this, is that we learn and we get into scriptures about actually confessing our sins to God. Second point that we learn and we get into the scriptures about receiving forgiveness from God, actually just allowing his forgiveness to take our hearts and our minds captive. Third point is forgive or apologizing to one another. So not just to God, but apologizing to each other. And then the fourth point is actually forgiving each other. And so let's start with point one, actually apologizing to God. And so I guess what comes to your mind, Pastor Chad, with the office of the keys and just forgiveness, right? I think a lot of times we go, hey, I'm forgiven, but have you actually confessed sins? Right? Yeah. What scriptures come to mind about confessing sins to God?
Well, obviously the commandments, because it's a good checklist for us to see how we're doing and loving God and loving our neighbor, and where we realize we fail, which if we're honest is every day, multiple times a day. It's an opportunity for us to just say to God, I am sorry, I failed here.
Yeah. And those are words, I think on Mother's Day, when I just heard you say, I'm sorry. Right, that parents are trying to teach their kids how to say it to each other, but certainly, when's the last time we actually told God, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Sorry. I think of King David, right, and Nathan, it's back in 2 Samuel, right, chapter 12, where David has messed up pretty bad, right? And it seems like he's not taking responsibility. He's trying to hide it and cover it up, and finally Nathan has to confront him. And then he confronts David with a story, and David gets all upset and getting all mad at this guy, saying, what do you do to this guy if this happened? Also, Nathan says, David, that was you. And all of a sudden, David has a real moment. And I think all of us hopefully can have that real moment. I think of what we just went through with Holy Week, with the Pharisees and the Roman soldiers and the disciples, and how it's so easy for us to get mad at them, right? That holy indignation, so to speak. But all of a sudden, to have that moment where we actually realize it was me. Right? I was the one yelling, crucify him. I was the one nailing him to the cross.
Yeah.
You guys have any other thoughts?
Well, the love that God has for us makes it easy for us to approach him, because it's a father who is gracious, a God who forgives us even though we don't deserve it. And I think that's that invitation to repent then is to turn back to him, to know that he will always forgive.
Yeah.
Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, yeah, wanting to forgive us.
And it's his kindness, right? His kindness that leads us to repentance.
Yep.
Pastor Lou, you got any thoughts on apologizing to God?
Yeah, I was just thinking that it's easy to apologize to God because we don't get to see him. But it's hard because we know what he can do to us. And I like everything that we were talking about, but it's quite a thing to be able to come humbly before God when you know that he holds your life in the balance and your eternity in the balance. You really have to come from the heart. Again, I always talk about this. You have to be convicted in the heart. And in order to apologize to God, to tell him that I am a poor, miserable sinner. I always liked the way we did it in the 1942 is, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you. And it's an easy thing to do, but it becomes rote. And we have to make sure that we're convicted in our heart so that we truly are telling him we are sorry for our sins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of Luke 18, when Jesus talks about the Pharisee and then the tax collector, and they're praying,
yeah,
right? And the Pharisee's unable to see his own sin, right? He actually talks about how good he is, and all of a sudden the tax collector's over there saying, you know, have mercy on me. I'm a poor, miserable sinner. Have mercy on me, oh God. And just the difference. Right, I think what you said, Pastor Lou, with the heart, right? The psalmists say what God is looking for in us is a contrite heart,
right?
A teachable heart, a heart that's able to be humble, a heart that's actually able to own up and take responsibility and say, yeah, like Adam and Eve, I would have done the same thing, right? Stop wiping our hands clean like Pontius Pilate and acknowledge, like, yeah, the blood of Jesus that's on our hands, right? And so just the ability to be able to say, I'm sorry to God. And then to receive forgiveness. What are you guys? Give me some sermons on receiving forgiveness from God. Pastor Chad, what do you got?
I think, you know, obviously the parable of the prodigal son returning to the father, and even before the son gets within, you know, proper distance of the homestead, his father sees him and is looking for him and runs out to him. And, you know, you have that example of a father who wants to forgive and receiving that. And, you know, in that parable, the prodigal son doesn't say, no, I don't want your forgiveness. He accepts the robe. He accepts the ring, receives that with great love and gratitude. And I think for us, when God says and speaks the words of forgiveness, and through his word, through our fellow believers, through our called workers, when God speaks and says, I forgive you. It is a wonderful thing to receive that and just to, I guess, in a sense, accept it, to realize God has forgiven me. And, you know, from a psychological point of view, forgiving yourself, that's one of the phrases you'll often read in literature, that a person has to forgive themselves in order to really move on. And I think the Bible presents it a little differently, just really receiving God's, believing what God says, that we are really forgiven, and not letting guilt and shame continue to be a weight on us, but to know that Christ has taken that and truly lifted that off of us.
Yeah, I think for a lot of us, we struggle, and I've struggled in my life, like receiving God's forgiveness, what you were just saying, really believing that, actually taking the ring from the Father, like the prodigal son, and just not being stuck in despair, right, or guilt.
Yeah.
The Corinthians talks about godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, what is it that actually helps us? What would you guys say? What helps us receive it and not just kind of hear it like, okay, you're saying I'm forgiven, but no, you're forgiven. You are forgiven, right? To keep hearing that and receiving that. What is it that really helps us?
Yeah, true repentance is not just saying sorry. It's also receiving God's word of forgiveness. That's what Luther said in the Small Catechism.
Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts, Pastor Lou?
Yes. Receiving God's forgiveness, I think, is the greatest thing that we get to do in the context of our worship service. And I know as a pastor, every time I get to say the words of absolution, to tell people that their sins are forgiven, that what's done here on earth is ratified in heaven, this brings such joy. But we come with such humble and humility, and you know, we receive it with our head bowed down. But I think it also has to be mixed with just unending joy, that we have to raise our hands up and just smile. I love to be able to tell the congregation, I have good news for you. Your sins are forgiven. And I think what really nails it for me is that scripture says that as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. There's no reason that we have to hold on to those and to not be assured of it, because his word says you're forgiven. I think you hit that on the nail on the head, Pastor Justin. We are forgiven. You are forgiven. But to hear that he's not going to remember those, or he chooses not to continue to bring those up to us, is such a relief and such a joy that we can walk away with our head held high. We've come humbly to ask, but we leave with joy and repentance.
And me to remember that God doesn't forgive like I forgive. God perfectly forgives.
Right.
When he says, I remember your sins no more. I don't keep a record of wrongs. That's hard to really grasp, but yet that's true. And I love the east from the west, and some other verses of absolution. Right, Isaiah, right, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Think of the Psalms, the thrown in the depths of the sea. Right, and I don't know if you guys have ever gone deep into the water, but when the pressure starts coming, mm-hmm. or when you see like the submarine just get crushed if they don't have the right air pressure, right, God just crushes our sins. So I hope all you guys who are listening, right, you've heard it already. You're going to hear it again. Your sins are forgiven, right? First John, Pastor Chad, what does First John say?
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's right. Amen. Amen. So let's keep going here. Let's see if we can get a sermon in still. The third point, right, actually confessing our sins to one another. What's that about? Not just to God, right? I'm sorry, God, but saying I'm sorry to my brother, my sister, my parent.
My parents, yeah. I think that, you know, relationally, we look at God's relationship with us. We are all children of God. And I think it's amazing that he then allows us to participate in sharing that forgiveness, that as we confess our sins to each other and we pray for each other, that Christ is present. You know, Jesus said in the Gospels, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So when a mother, for example, says to her child, I forgive you, Christ is present right there. And when a child receives that forgiveness, they can be as sure and as certain that God in heaven above is forgiving them as a mom speaking those beautiful words of, I forgive you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember a lot of times in my childhood where I was pretty hard on my older sister. And I was a perfect big brother to my little sister. I don't know, you can ask her about that. But there were times where, you know, you have the conflict and you get before mom and she's got to be the one to set things right and to be able to say to my sister or my mom, I'm sorry, and to hear those words, I forgive you. And I think that ought to be an encouragement for us that as we use the keys that we're talking about, the binding key, the loosing key, that what a privilege to be able to carry the good news to someone specifically and say, I forgive you, but more importantly, Jesus forgives you.
Mm-hmm. I know the other day when we were talking, you talked about how a lot of people would just say, you know, it's no problem. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But that's not what our faith teaches us to say.
Right, right. And I think that's the world's way of kind of dealing with, you know, guilt and when we hurt each other. But as Christians, we can be very clear that hurt and pain finds its healing in the one who forgives and the great healer, our Savior. So,
yeah. So definitely those miraculous words, right, to be able to say, I forgive you, but also those miraculous words. I know Pastor Lee, you told me your mom taught you a lot, how to say you're sorry, how to take responsibility. Share some wisdom from your mom.
Yeah, definitely. My mom would always be the one that, and I thought this was so important, was is that you have to go and fix it. Lou, you have to go and fix it. And she taught me that, and she taught me that, but she also modeled that. And I, you know, I'm so proud to be Eileen Steer's son because she taught me the gift of both confession and forgiveness. And I've been able to practice that in my life. I got to admit to you, as even as you pastor, I fail at it, but it seems to be a work in progress. But she was such a great Christian woman. She was an example for anyone, for a wife, for a mother, for a mother-in-law. And we could really learn. I'm a lot like my mom. My wife even says, you're so much like your mom. You're not afraid to get in the middle of a sticky situation. And I'll tell you what, having to deal with confessing your own sins or confronting somebody that has sinned against you is a sticky situation. But the point of it is, and I got this from scripture, I was looking at both Matthew 18, which since we're talking about the office of the keys is if your brother sins against him, go and tell him your fault. And of course, you know how that goes. But also I looked at Matthew 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, if you remember your brother has something against you, you go and you be reconciled to your brother. So in either one of these cases, scripture is telling you go. It is your job. You go and fix it, because that's the way relationships work. You know, problems don't happen all by themselves and they don't get fixed by themselves. It takes, Pastor Chad, you talked about relational problems and sinning against each other is a relational thing. There is something that separates us in that sin. And it is up to us to go and fix that. So everyone is that. That's the way scripture says. Take care of it yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, I do think that's the greatest miracle. It's one of the greatest miracles. I think when the Spirit works the forgiveness of sins, right? When it starts with the miracle of actually someone saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right? Taking the responsibility. If I know someone, if I wrong somebody, I need to go apologize. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's so much easier to forgive, right? If someone's actually apologized to us, so much easier. But yet, right, I think our faith does call us to forgive, right, even when someone hasn't apologized to us. Is that true? Or am I barking up the wrong tree here, Pastor Chad?
No, I think, when Jesus calls us to come to him and find rest in him, in Matthew 11, he talks about his Spirit being humble and gentle. And it's that Spirit that lives in us also, that I can be humble enough to go to my brother or sister in the faith and say, I'm sorry I offended you, or I hurt you, or I sinned against you, whatever the words are. And the humility then on the other end too, the gentleness that says, I forgive you because I realize, you know, I'm not perfect either. And there's a God who forgives us, who wants us to restore this relationship. So I think that's the goal always. There may be, you know, small situations where we don't have the opportunity to address that person directly. Maybe they aren't alive anymore, or there's relational issues that we just, that aren't safe, but we can still forgive from our hearts and to trust God. And I think that's the ongoing work that we have as believers to forgive. It's always an ongoing call from the Holy Spirit to keep doing it.
Yeah, I think of, as you're talking, I was just remembering forgiveness is a process, mm-hmm. right? Like I mentioned before, I wish that I could forgive like God forgives us. Right? Certainly it is hard. Forgiveness is hard. Right? Look at what God had to go through with the Son and Jesus. If we don't think sin is a big deal, it is a big deal, and forgiveness is hard. Right? But yet on this side of eternity, and a lot of counselors, I remember Larry Crabb wrote a book about forgiveness, and he talked about the process of forgiveness means that the hurt is diminishing. There's an openness for reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's also a desire for revenge is decreasing.
Yeah.
Right. And so just there's a process, right? And for me, right, it's almost a daily thing for some hurts that I have where it's like, God, I need to bring this to you again. Help me to forgive.
Because even when you are hurt, the desire of our sinful nature, of our old Adam, is for revenge or, you know, to grow in bitterness, to just let that anger build inside of us, become hostile towards other people. And that's not the heart of God. That's not the heart that we want to be growing in. So yeah, to get rid of bitterness, Scripture says. In Ephesians, Paul actually says that the way to do that is to model our forgiveness as after the way that God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. I just thought of the Frozen song. You guys want to do a Disney sing-along right now? Let it go.
Pastor Luke. I would have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll use that song to you at another time. But I also think Mother's Day, right? I do want to give a shout-out to my mom and all the moms out there and parents, right? My dad has done this, but my mom also does this, and she's been doing this all my life where, you know, I don't think she ever owes me an apology, but she actually does come to me and it's, Justin, I'm sorry. Right? Justin, I'm sorry. My dad has done that. My mom has done that. And I know without a doubt that is why I have the relationship that I have with my parents, because they have taken responsibility, right? They haven't pointed a finger at me all the time saying I've been in the wrong, right? Certainly I have been in the wrong, but they've actually taken the initiative as parents to model that, to apologize to me. And I've seen them forgive, right? Family, right? No family is perfect, right? So I've seen the conversations that have taken place, but through the years, guess what? We still see all of our family members. We're still reconciled with our family members, right? Nobody is perfect, but yet I've seen my parents really do their best to model what it looks like to forgive others. So any shout outs to your mom, Chad?
Yeah, she was definitely patient with me over the years. She when I was a kid, she had done one of those sewing things, that little picture of a kid with a frog, and you know he's all dirty, and said, "Be patient with me, God isn't finished with me yet." And I think that was really her approach to parenting too. She was ever patient with us, and through the different stages of our development, I think she tried to do the best she could. And I'm definitely blessed to have had her as a mom, and even now as a source of counsel and someone to pray for me, it's an amazing thing.
And I think of love covers a multitude of sins. And I think moms, dads, all of us, right? Love covers a multitude of sins, and certainly that love, there's forgiveness in that love. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
Pastor Lou, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I was just thinking, as you're talking about moms, as I miss my mom. She's been with her Lord and Savior for the last 5 years, but I miss having the conversations with her and the things that we talk about. But I think the last thing that I wanted to say is that confession and forgiveness are two of the greatest gifts that we've been given. And they come because Jesus died on the cross to earn our salvation. And because he died on the cross and rose again, we know that we have eternal salvation and we'll be with him. But it's only through the working of the Holy Spirit that this gift is given to each and every one of us. We talk about the office of the keys, which is given to the church. But each one of us is given the ability to confess and the ability to absolve and to pronounce that you're forgiveness. They're the greatest gifts that we have, because I think was thinking when you had asked about the question about when, you know, if somebody, you don't have an opportunity. I always tell people, but in your heart, you need to work through the process that Pastor Chad had talked about and you had talked about, to work through that process. But the end result is you've got to be ready in your heart to say, I'm sorry. Because when you do that, you are unburdened from the guilt of all of this and the things that go wrong with it. Even if you never get the chance to say it, you've actually said it to your Lord that I forgive that person, and you get a freedom there. I know we just talked about this in our in-home Bible study. And whenever we get to hear you are forgiven, or whenever we get to say you are forgiven, in either case, there is an unburdening that is just exceptional.
Mm-hmm. I love it that Jesus calls it, right, the office of the keys. Right? And Mother's Day, I think, who runs the house? If there's a mom and a dad in the house, like we all know who runs the house, it's mom.
Yeah.
Right? And that it's the church as a people, right? Certainly we as pastors, right? We get to be the face of the church, so to speak, but the church is the people, and we all have those offices of the keys. Right? And so I pray that everybody is blessed today. I thank you, Pastor Lou and Pastor Chad, for the ministry that you're doing and that you're going to continue to do, and certainly for wrapping up this 20-minute sermon within 20 minutes. I thought it was going to be an hour long. But the conversation doesn't stop. The sermon doesn't stop, right? We get to live this out now and wrestle with this and allow God to teach us how to forgive and how to confess. So thank you, Pastor Chad and Pastor Lou, for joining us,
for having us
with the sermon today.
So the main thing is still the main thing, the forgiveness of sins, the ability that the Spirit gives to us to humbly come before God, confess our sins to Him, receive the gospel that we are forgiven, and to give that to one another, not just the forgiveness of sins, but the ability to be able to say, I'm sorry. And so as we receive this message this Mother's Day, as we continue to be anchored in our relationship with Jesus, we're going to go now to Pastor Chris's house, and he's going to lead us in the great statement of our faith, the Nicene Creed. And so as we receive this, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Having heard such a great message from Pastor Justin about who God is and what He has done and what He is doing and what He will do for you, let's join our hearts and our voices together as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Together, let us confess. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together are worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Well, having declared this faith that God has placed in our hearts, the faith that moves in us to forgive, that teaches us how to forgive, it also teaches us how to pray. So let's call on God's name together. We pray. Almighty Father, everlasting God, your Son has revealed you to us as a merciful Lord. Give to us your Holy Spirit that we may believe in Him whom you have sent and do the greater works He has told us we will do in His name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have promised to build up your church to be a holy priesthood, that your people might offer the spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, and that they would be acceptable to you. Bless your church and bring all congregations back together again. Bless all pastors who proclaim Christ to us. Bless all church workers and those preparing for full-time church vocations, that your church may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants of your word. Lord, in your mercy, Holy God, your power brought all things into being, and still you preserve what you have made. Bless our president, the Congress of the United States, our governor, and all elected and appointed civil servants, so that they may honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Give wisdom and moderation to them in their leadership for the well-being of the nation. Lord, in your mercy. O merciful Father, you have compassion upon the sick and those in need, and have promised not to ignore them in their affliction. Turn back the pandemic across the globe and give us relief. Bless the sick with healing, those who suffer with strength and patience, and the dying with peace. Hear us on behalf of those who have requested our prayers and those we name in our hearts. Gracious God, you have established the home and blessed those who show us your love. Bless all mothers and the children in their care. Bless all families and make their homes places of blessing and love, where your word is spoken, forgiveness reigns, and love is displayed. Give us good examples to inspire people of all ages to all that is good and pure, and to seek after these things. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have given us the wisdom of faith, that through the Spirit we might know your Son to be the way, the truth, and the life. Bless all those who teach and all those who learn, that the goal of our knowledge may be to know Christ and to make him known. Do not let your word be bound, but let it have free course among us. Preserve those in isolation from idleness, and instead let our minds be renewed in scripture and prayer. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Father, you are not a stranger to the needs of this body and life, and you have called us to love our neighbors in need and to give to the poor. Give us courage and faith that we may not fear sharing the resources you have supplied with those who live and want, especially widows and orphans and those who are unemployed. Let love be perfected among us to drive out selfish fears. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Father of eternal mercy, you have raised up witnesses in every age and blessed us with those who endured suffering and even death in faithfulness to Christ. Thank you for these faithful saints and martyrs, and make us strong so that when we face the day of test, that at length we may be brought with them into the joy of your presence and the glory of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, we praise you, God, for your goodness in hearing the prayers of your people and granting us confidence to approach your throne of mercy. Hear us now in the name of and for the sake of your Son, Jesus, our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen. We join our hearts and voices in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the blessing from God, a good word from God, the benediction. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. For joining us, for being a part of this moment of worship where God meets you with his word and his spirit, and he gives you that forgiveness you need so that you can forgive yourself, you can forgive others around you, and you can be the witness, the person God is calling you and creating you to be. I invite you to consider three things. One, consider sharing this moment of worship. Somebody who needs it, somebody that will be blessed by it, there will be a link to share this posted below. Also, you should also hang out for just a second, because Allison Carr, our children's minister, is going to be sharing another great message. She's been nailing it, hitting it out of the park every week. So hope you stay tuned for her object lesson, which is for kids, absolutely, but it's a blessing for grown-ups too, to be honest. And lastly, if you haven't already, I invite you to consider giving. If you're a follower of Jesus at Trinity, this is part of who we are as followers of Jesus. We give to support the gospel and God's work here at Trinity and around the world. And if you're not a member of Trinity, I invite you to consider giving anyway. If it's something that blesses you, something that blesses those you love, consider supporting this with some of the blessings that God has given you. Anything you're able to do to support this and to get the word out about what God is doing is a blessing for us. So any way you're able to partner with us and do that, I invite you to do that. And now let's head over to Allison Carr and hear this message that she's prepared for us.
Good morning, boys and girls, and happy Sunday. And a very special good morning to all those moms watching. Happy Mother's Day to you. Boys and girls, did you know that God made moms special? Moms are rock stars and superheroes, and God made them special so that they could take on the extra load of caring for a family. Let's take a second and think of all the ways that your mom cares for you in a week.
Well, she takes care of you when any slippings that you might have, keeping you all safe. She cooks and bakes delicious food so you never go hungry. She also cleans and keeps the house tidy so you can always find what you're looking for. And she does your laundry so that you always have fresh clothes to wear. She also watches you and plays and spends time with you. And she helps you with all of your homework, especially during quarantine. Not to mention that she drives you everywhere that you need to go.
And that's just to mention a few of the important jobs that your mom has caring for you and your family. Not to mention any additional responsibilities that she might have outside of the home, because she's a nurse, doctor, hairdresser, teacher, engineer, just to name a few. But the most important job that mom has is that she teaches you unconditional love and forgiveness. You see, there's no such thing as a perfect child. There's no such thing as even a perfect adult child. We make mistakes, we fight with our siblings, we disobey our parents, we use words that we shouldn't, and we're really messy. But at the end of the day, no matter what, our moms love us, and they forgive us for the mistakes that we made. Our moms love us so much, and they continue to show us that through their actions, because they continue to shower us with love, even though we know we don't always make the best choices. Well, moms learn that from Jesus, because moms love us the way that Jesus loves us. Because he loves us unconditionally. And when we make mistakes and we ask for forgiveness, he gives it to us freely. Because he loves us so much. Just like your moms do. Moms have a lot on their plates. And even though they take care of all of these awesome things, that doesn't mean that they don't ever run out of steam or feel unappreciated. But God helps moms. He gives them extra strength, along with encouragement, love, understanding, healing, and forgiveness. And in return, mom demonstrates that love and forgiveness to you, her children. So let's show our moms what we are learning. And let's do our part to be more helpful, grateful, loving, understanding, and forgiving to our moms. Because we all have some pretty awesome moms. And I can tell you that as a new mom myself, your moms want to give you the world. So let's do our part to be helpful to them. And why don't we say a prayer right now to thank God for the awesome moms we have in our lives. Let's fold our hands, bow our heads, and talk to Jesus. Dear God, thank you for my mom and all those special people who look after me. We know they work hard and show us all of their love. Help us to show our love and care to them as well, and always be thankful for the gift that they are to us. Bless the rest of our day as we celebrate Mom. All this we ask in your name. Amen. All right, boys and girls, see how you can be helpful to mom today. But not just today. Remember, yes, today is Mother's Day, but your mom is with you every day. So do your best to be a helper to her. All right, I'll see you guys next week, and I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. We'll see you next Sunday.